Sunday, January 27th, 2013. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And today we're going to be talking about overlooked sales opportunities. And you know what? I think we're all guilty of this to some extent. I mean, we don't have it on our list of things to do. Neglect opportunity, miss opportunities, things happen. So I think today is going to be a nice, friendly reminder for you. And also today it's going to be kind of cool because I'm going to do something on this podcast I haven't done before, by the way. I'm going to offer something completely free. And I know you probably, when if you're like me, you hear somebody offering something for free, like you go for your wallet right away because you're thinking like, okay, here comes the sales pitch. Nope, it's going to be a no strings attached freebie, but you got to kind of hang in there for a little bit. I'm going to be getting to it within about 5 minutes from now. But before we get going, you know the deal with me. I always like to start out with my favorite thing in the whole wide world, a shout out. You guys know what the deal is with the shout out. A shout out is when somebody is nice enough to stop by iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, leave some kind words about the podcast. Well, I want to remember my manners and acknowledge them. This one comes from Tony from Great Guys Incorporated. He says, I always consider myself a Jedi in training. I look forward to the weekly reinforcement from the Jedi Master. I mean, like, how cool is that? Thank you so much, Tony. And I'm going to tell you what, I think the Force is indeed strong in you, my friend. I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, I love what you had to say there in terms of kind of considering ourselves like a Jedi in training and that whole continual student, continual learning thing. I'm a big fan of it. I'm in sales now. It'll be my 30th year very, very soon. And you don't want to be around me. Like, if God forbid, like, I have a few days in a row where, like, I feel like I didn't learn something or, like, I wasn't reading something or just working on my skill level. So I think that's a very, very important mindset. So thank you so much for that, Tony. Much appreciated. And you guys know me by now. It's the New York in me. I got to get right down to business. So let's start with item number one. And the very first area, I think, which would kind of represent an overlooked sales opportunity is really our ability to look in the mirror. Start with ourselves first, because we're looking at everything under the sun to see maybe why we're not selling as much as we could or looking for other opportunities. Let's start with, I think, the most overlooked place and one of the hardest places to look within ourselves, right? I kind of feel like I should be like coming to you in the image of some like ancient, you know, Chinese guru or something when I say that, right? Like sitting like Indian style and meditating or whatever it is, some Zen-like moment that we're going to have. But seriously, we have to be able to, and I'm going to give you two specific areas. You have to be able, and I do too, to assess our skills and our activities. And whenever I coach a sales manager or a business owner that might be working with their sales team and they're trying to get things to a higher level in terms of performance and sales and revenue and all that kind of good stuff, I always tell them, well, you got to look at it and see if there is what the areas for improvement are. But is it a skills issue or is it an activities issue? Could it be both? So let me just kind of give you an exercise that I want you to do. And I'm going to give you a homework, a little bit of homework assignment here that you got to do. And don't hate me for it. But what I want you to do in the show notes, I will have a link that you can find by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/70, because this is episode 70 already, by the way. So what this exercise is going to be, it's going to be a PDF that you can download. You're welcome, no charge for it. I want you to download it, and you'll notice that there are 75 qualities of rock star salespeople. And you know what? We all want to be a rock star. That's what this is about. That's what this podcast is about. That's what YourSalesPlaybook.com is about. That's what our tagline is about, if you've ever noticed it. Sales tips for the aspiring rock star. And we all want to be that rock star. So the first thing that I want you to do is download that little worksheet. And what it is, 75 qualities that our sales community over on YourSalesPlaybook.com had put together. I put an open question out there to the sales community, I'm guessing it was about 2 years ago, and I said, what do you think are the qualities of a true sales rock star? And people just started coming in with all kinds of answers. I compiled the answers, put it into a worksheet, and then what I want you to do is kind of do something that is one of the toughest things in the world to do. And I'm not just like being a smartass about that when I say that, maybe a little bit, but no, but seriously, it's seriously just such a hard thing for people to do, to honestly look in the mirror. And as I always say, not that mirror at the department store that like shaves a few pounds off you. I'm talking about that like mirror in the hotel that you look and you go, oh yeah, wow. Can't believe it, right? Or you might look in the mirror like I do and say, Dad, right? I kind of stole that from a comedian. But and they did a better job of executing on that joke than I did. But you have to look in the mirror. And to do it, you got to tell your ego to go wait in the car. I got this one, dude. And I want you to kind of rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10. Because you'll notice on that PDF that you're going to download, print out, in the right-hand corner is a little box, and I want you to rate yourself after each quality on a scale from 1 to 10. 1 being Houston, we've got a problem, man, I really got to get better in this area, and 10 meaning that you've got a really good command of that particular quality. And then here's where the freebie comes in. You're going to do your part, and I'm going to do my part. If you do that part, all I want you to do, this part now is where it gets really, really cool. All I want you to do is email me, and I'm going to give you my email address right now, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. Let me give that to you one more time, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. And all you have to do is say, Paul, I've completed that part. And, you know, it's nice if you call me Paul, but you can call me something else if you want, as long as it's not like a nasty type of word or something, right? Then I'm not going to give you anything for free. I'm going to promise you that right now. But seriously, if you email me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a free 15-minute coaching session, and I'm going to tell you what to do with that exercise. Once you've done your part and you've evaluated everything, I'm going to give you several steps that you can do. And I want to be clear about something, and hopefully by now you know what I'm all about. If I tell you I'm going to give you something for free, I want you to understand it is absolutely free. It's not my excuse to get you on the phone and try to sell you on something. It will be 100% no strings attached, seriously. So if you want to take me up on that offer, I want you to complete the first step. I want you to reach out to me through that email address, and then you and I together will kick it up a notch, and we'll have a free 15-minute coaching session. But I do want to just say this to you. Don't reach out to me if you're not willing to do the homework that I'm going to give you, because I'm going to give you some homework. I'm going to tell you what to do with that information. So if you're just kind of doing it, well, he's giving me something for free, whatever it is, it's not going to be worth your time, right? Don't worry about me and how I spend my time. It's not going to be worth your time. But if you're truly serious about it, I'm going to give you some homework, and it's not going to be homework that costs you anything other than your time. So if you're up for that challenge, I want you to reach out to me. But let's get back to this, right? Assessing your skills and your activities. What I want you to do is, I also want you to look at your activities. In other words, what are you doing Monday through Friday? And I want to offer this to you. You need an obsession with what I call the three drivers of sales success. There are three things that you have to be absolutely obsessed with if you want to be successful in sales. Now, I realize that when I go through these, the way things are structured in your organization, maybe it's going to be a little bit different for you. That's okay, because if these don't do it, I'm going to invite you to find the three that will do it. But for now, I'm going to tell you what, 99% of the population listening to this podcast are going to say, spot on, Castain. So you ready for this? The three drivers of sales success. You need to be obsessed with new account acquisition, right? Hunting new business, bringing home some new bacon to fry up in that pan. The next thing, you can't be bringing in new business in the front door, losing the business out the back door. No good, not bueno. So the next thing is account retention. So the activities to keep that account and to be available to troubleshoot things. If you're in the deadline business, like a lot of my printing friends are, being available, accessible, being able to get on press and oversee projects, things like that, even wining and dining clients, that's the cool side of the equation, right? So retention. But by far one of the biggest opportunities, one of the biggest neglected opportunities, and really what we're talking about today are these overlooked sales opportunities. How about account development, where we take that account and we spend time growing it? So those are the three things that you have to be obsessed with. So here's what I want you to do, right? Because it sounds real good on this podcast. It sounds real and looks real good, right? Sounds real good. Looks real good on paper. But what do, right? We all agree that we should be focusing on these things, but easier said than done. So first of all, just kind of and something that you have to be obsessed with is as you plan your week, make sure that the highest percentage of your time is spent on these three drivers. These are your money activities. So if you're planning a week with a lot of administrative stuff and internal things that might not be as necessary, you might have to do some shifting or delegating or rethinking your week. So as you plan your week, ask yourself this question: do I have the maximum amount of time dedicated to money activities, to these three drivers of success? Next, as you go through each day and you're working on different types of activities and projects and tasks, you absolutely have to do kind of like a checkup from the neck up, as the late Zig Ziglar used to say. And you need to ask yourself, is what I'm doing right now either help me get a new account, helping me to retain some existing business, or grow this book of business that I have? Let me say it again. Is what I'm doing right now either help me get a new account, keeping an account, or growing existing business? And if it isn't, don't hang your head. Don't cry in your coffee or your beer. Hopefully you're not drinking beer throughout the day. That might be a little bit of an activity problem right there. You're welcome. See, I'm always here to help. But seriously, don't get all upset about it. Actually get excited about it, because now you're aware. And they always say it always starts with awareness. So I want you to do that. So those are some things that you can do as far as your skills and your activities. Let's go on to item number two. I want you to look closely, speaking of existing business, right? I want you to look closely at your existing business, right? The existing book of business that you have. And you know what? I probably should have researched the story before I went on my podcast. It's one of those stories we've heard a million times. You remember that story? What was it, like Acres of Diamonds or something like that, where this dude wanted to go and find diamonds and get his fortune? So he went at it and was trying his best in good faith to find his fortune, digging for these diamonds or whatever the heck it is you do to find diamonds. I know they don't grow on trees, I'll tell you that much, but looking for these diamonds, right? And what happens is he progressively became more and more broke, losing his money, investing in the tools and equipment and all this kind of stuff to get the damn diamonds. Finally, the guy goes and has to sell his farm. And I don't know how long it was afterwards, but they found one of the biggest diamond mines in the history of, I think, South Africa or something like that. And guess what? It was right on the guy's property, right? Tell me that guy isn't like a full-time drunk right now. But seriously, I mean, right on his property, found like this biggest, like, bunch of diamonds in the history of the country. It was right there. The guy was sitting literally on acres of diamonds. And you have to think about that with your business. Are you sitting on acres of diamonds? Sometimes we're just so obsessed with finding new things and new opportunity, or just having the acres of diamonds just kind of blend in with the landscape. We just miss it. So a few things I want you to think about. First of all, I want you to look at your existing book of business right now. And you need to ask yourself a question. Do I have any orphans? Or do I have any inactive accounts? Let me tell you the difference. An orphan is an account that you have kind of forgotten about, that your competitor can come along and adopt them. So it's just an account that, for whatever reason, again, I don't think you have it on your list of things to do, forget about money, but there might have been somebody waving a bigger bankroll at you, and you're like, hey, friend, right? And you're going in that direction. But meanwhile, you're forgetting about another opportunity. So I want you to maybe carve aside some thinking time, and that honest thinking time where you, again, tell the ego to wait in the car again. This week, you might even want to just tell your ego to just stay in the car the whole damn week, because you got a lot of things this week that we can't have that ego getting in the way of your progress. So what you do is just ask yourself, do I have accounts that I have neglected, that I have forgotten about? And then the other one that you need to ask yourself, do I have some inactive accounts that it's not that I've forgotten about them, but it's just that they're not, for whatever reason, buying from us anymore? And you need to look at that and then kind of ask yourself a question, well, how can I get back in there again? And one of the things that I often tell my clients to do, sometimes we need to have, like we feel that we need anyway, to have some big excuse to get back face to face with them. And I would even invite you to do this with clients that are buying from you regularly. You need to get back in there. And one of the things I'll often tell my clients to do is just say, look, it's been a while since we really sat down and looked at your business and looked at your needs, looked at your challenges, looked at your opportunities. And we all know things change, and things change rapidly. And what I like to tell people, it's a lot like going to the doctor. You need the annual checkup. Sometimes you go for the annual checkup and they say, hey, you know, everything's great. See you next year. Other times they say, you know, let's take a look at some of these areas a little more closely. No different in business. In fact, feel free to use that type of analogy. But get back in front of them any way that you can. Take some time to do a good, thorough needs analysis. And just as a bonus tip, even with your real active clients, you should get back in there and do a needs analysis, because it might have been a while since you've done that. So that's another question you might want to ask yourself. When was the last time I went into one of my existing active accounts and conducted a good needs analysis, where I was really looking at challenges, opportunities, things getting in the way of these outcomes that they want, and just truly looking at the business together, putting your heads together, and maybe reevaluating things as necessary. It's a really important thing that many of us forget. So we're starting with looking at whether or not you have orphans or accounts that are inactive. Next, look for pigeonholed accounts. Accounts where they've pigeonholed you, actually. Look for the accounts where you have been pigeonholed. Pigeonholing is something that happens to a lot of people. And I use a lot of references to the printing industry. I came up in that industry. I've done a lot of projects in that industry. So I'm going to kind of point toward the printing industry for this example. In the printing industry, this happens all the time. You have all these products and services, and yet they only look to you for that one type of product. So, for example, they might only be coming to you for catalogs, and yet you do all this other kinds of things and other types of products that you offer. They only go to you for that. In my business, I see it all the time. I have three areas that I'll tell you about right now. I have the one-on-one coaching part of my business, where I work with salespeople one-on-one, hence the name, right? But real creative there. I also have the part of my business where I train entire sales teams. And of course, I have the part of my business where I have the online webinars and the Rockstar University stuff that I do. Now, here's what happens, right? And I make a living out of training people, so it even happens to me. I have folks that I do one-on-one coaching with that only see me as a coach. Now, I'm not putting them down. I'm grateful for the business, but they are truly not aware that I also could train their team, or they could be buying online things from me and some of the other products I have. I also see it with some of the people that are some of the organizations that I'll train 100, 200 of their sales reps, speak at a speaking engagement for 1,000 sales reps at their convention or their kickoff, and they don't realize that I could be coaching them, or they could be involved in Rockstar University. But here's the dilemma, folks. How do we possibly communicate these other things that we do without becoming the epitome of a bad infomercial? So what I'm going to do in the show notes is point you to an entire podcast that I did on this topic. I'm guessing it was about a year or so ago. So if you go back to the show notes, yoursalesplaybook.com/70, I'll have a really cool podcast that you can go back to and look into there. But the other thing too, perhaps, like some things that you could do right now that I want you to think about, I want you to think about maybe with some of your clients, maybe approaching them with an idea that can help them in some way, but it would help them by utilizing something else that they don't know that they can go to you for. So that's one of the things that you can do. I also want you to think about your content. Are there opportunities for you to provide content to your client base where you could educate them? And my rule of thumb is be helpful, not salesy. And part of that rule of thumb is what I call the 98-2 rule. The 98-2 rule, right? It's kind of like if you wrote it out, 98/2 rule. Make 98% of your message pure content, being very, very helpful. And if you are going to be salesy and if you are going to point them towards some other things, take a 2% liberty for that. Because one thing I found in doing this for, I'll be coming up on my fifth year in November. One thing I found is that when I go 98% just giving you pure content, giving you lots and lots of stuff, and I only take 2% of that to point toward maybe a sales message or a webinar that I'm doing, the bulk of the population is pretty cool with that. And the other thing that I'll tell you, you could especially follow that if ever you were to consider maybe doing a webinar to educate your existing clients, which, by the way, I'm a big advocate of that. I'm not a huge fan, and I know there's probably a lot of content marketers right now probably looking at me like I'm a nut for saying this. I'm not a real big fan of giving away all these webinars. I know a lot of people do it and they generate lots and lots of leads. I'd rather give my best free things to my existing Castaing Training Systems clients. And that's no disrespect to you if you're not one of my clients, but I just think that there's only so much free stuff you can give. And I think that when you weigh out two groups of people, the people who are already paying for your services versus people who have never paid for your services, I think we should not penalize people who are existing customers, and they should get your best free. Give free things out. There's no doubt, and you know I'm an advocate of it. I mean, heck, on my website I've got a tab, free stuff from Uncle Paul, a whole page of free PDFs, which I will put in the show notes. All kinds of free stuff. This podcast is free. Lots and lots of that stuff. But once I start getting into webinars and stuff, it's just not really something I want to do. Not going to say never, but I'll tell you, I want to give my best free to my existing clients, which I have given some free webinars to, by the way. So something to think about that you can do. But if you're going to do that within a webinar, 98% of it, just pure content, 2% at the end, maybe a sales message. And tell people that that's what you're going to do. They'll never hate you for that if you're up front. But one of the things I want to put out a challenge to all of you sales managers, VPs of sales, business owners, people who are managing a team of aspiring sales professionals, right? Aspiring sales rock stars. I want to put out a little challenge to you. I mean, you know how I feel about sales meetings. You know what I'm about to say now. I think most sales meetings absolutely, positively suck. They are horrible. There is no value. It's just a whole 45, 1 hour either beat-up session or talking about Mary's numbers and John's numbers and Castaing's numbers. Nobody cares about that. That's a real cool email to send out. It's not worth pulling people out of the field for that. If you want to truly give some value to your team, start talking about some of these things that need to be talked about. One of them could be, how could we educate our clients so that they think about us with these other products and services? Or if you want to go more specific, throw that pigeonhole concept at them and just simply say, what can we do so that we can become less pigeonholed? So what can we do? And I think you absolutely have to have something in there, too, without becoming too salesy. Very, very important. So I want you to look at that as well. Let's move on. The next one's going to go kind of quickly. Next, sorry putting on my Captain Obvious one for this. And don't you dare say I know that if you're not doing it. So here we go. Number three, look at your backyard. So many times I see people that they're running all over the world to sell their products and services. And meanwhile, like that Acres of Diamonds dude, right? All these Acres of Diamonds are right there in your backyard. Do not ever underestimate the power of being a local supplier for just numerous reasons. Sometimes it's stimulating the local economy, and you have a lot of people that are just real loyal to the local community, right? Also, too, I mean, there's a lot of people that just like, or at least perceive that there'll be a quicker response time, and you could pop in and more personal attention to the account. So don't forget that. But also, too, don't you dare fall into the trap of looking at your products and services in a way that you say, well, you know what, Castain, that would be great if I were, say, one of these printers you always talk about, or if I was an office supply company, or if I sold copiers or whatever, because everybody pretty much needs that, and I can go door to door. But, you know, sometimes when I have this conversation with coaching clients, they'll say, Paul, I mean, I might have like one person in my local area that could do business with them. And my follow-up question, because I'm just a, you know, an SOB like that, I'll say, well, are you doing business with them? No. Okay, shut up. Go after them. It's one more account you could have. And, you know, you're not going to turn around now when you get the commission check from it and say, yeah, sorry, boss, I don't want the commission check because it's only one lousy account. You're going to take it, probably moonwalk to the bank like I do, right? Which is a sight to see. But don't get me started on that. Seriously. So look at your backyard and don't underestimate the power of that. And if you find yourself saying, well, nobody really could use this, think again. Maybe they could. Maybe there's someone there. Next, I want you to look at growth companies and industries. And just a few things. These are companies that are growing. And sometimes people say, yeah, well, how do I know if a company's growing? Well, first of all, why don't you look on the job boards? Go to places like Indeed.com, Monster.com, want ads in the paper, but I would mostly go online because I don't really know how many people. Do people even advertise in the want ads anymore? Now I'm sounding really old and antiquated, but for the most part, I would just get on the job boards. If they are hiring, they're hiring for a reason. Many times, it's growth. But there again, there also could be a turnover issue. And guess what? If you have a product or service that can help in that area, well, you might just have something really cool to talk to them about. But either way, if they're hiring, they're hiring for a reason. How about your local business journal talking about a company that maybe won a new contract or they're announcing some growth, that ABC company announces a 25% increase in whatever, right? In sales or local business, whatever it is. Very, very important. Another thing, this is a really cool one. You're going to want to circle this one. Put little arrows that say, over here, dude. Why don't you do a search for venture capital firms? Do like a Google search. Look up venture capital firms because many of them will list right on the website the companies that they're doing business with. If they're doing business with those companies, they've helped them secure financial backing and cash. If they have financial backing and cash, hey, guess what? Might be a good time to talk to them because they've got some money, right? Not a bad thing. Who knows? Give it a shot. Can't hurt. The other thing, too, look for emerging business. And this is kind of where you get to do, was it Wayne Gretzky who said, skate to where the puck is going to be? So if you look at publications like Business Week and the Wall Street Journal, even like Fast Company magazine, and many of these, you just do it right online. You could do this. But look at what they're talking about, and you can see emerging industries, things that are going to be popular maybe a year down the line, even 6 months down the line, maybe even 2 to 3 years down the line. It never hurts to skate to where the puck is going to be and start getting in there. Position yourself as a resource to them. And I just think it's a great position for you to be in. You don't want to wait till they're already out and they're already popular and everybody. See, now that whole channel, if you will, becomes real noisy. Everybody's running that way. I like to go and where I see the whole crowd maybe running to the right, yeah, I'm happy to run with that crowd because I'm sure there's something they're chasing, but I like to stick around a little and see what everybody's missing. And maybe there's something over to the left that nobody's going to. I might go take a little scenic tour over to the left and catch up with them because they're going to be running that way for a while. So that's something you could do. Let's go to the very last one. I want you to look at industries that... Oh, wait a minute. This one, you're going to think I've completely lost it, but I'm going to throw it at you anyway. Industries that are hurting. Now, you might right now say, all right, Paul, that's it. I'm sorry. I've put up with your BS on this podcast. You have gone over the top. You are crazy. You know, why would I possibly go after an industry that's hurting? They can't afford me. Well, this is what you have to do. You have to realize, now that you have to be able to, and I'm putting another challenge out to the sales managers out there. This might be something you might want to talk about. Ask yourself this question. Do our products and services, or can our products and services, in any way, shape, or form, help with generating income, revenue for a company? Could these products or services that we have, in any way, shape, or form, right, whether it be directly or indirectly, help another company generate revenue? And what I mean by directly versus indirectly, directly could be with my business. I coach people. They get better at what they do. They sell more. There you go. Very direct right there. Indirect could be where you have something that maybe frees up resources in a company so that maybe they could concentrate more on generating revenue or other things like that. That's where I would put it to you. That would be a great brainstorming session for you to have in an upcoming sales meeting. Take a look at your products or services and just ask the question to the team. In what ways can our products and services help another company to generate revenue? And obviously, if you can generate revenue, then what I suggest you do, go to these hurting industries, go to the VPs of sales. That is a point of entry that many people miss entirely. Go to them because this is the person who's getting their ass chewed right now, whose rear end is completely on the line, who's probably getting beaten up by the CEO like every other day about getting them out of this mess. And if you can come along and show them something that can help them with that very like serious challenge that they have. You see, a VP of sales is great because first of all, yes, there's budgets within companies, but VPs of sales can bypass budgets if they can show how it will go back to creating revenue. That's a very, very important thing. Plus, maybe this is silly, but I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'd have to think that a VP of sales has some degree of sales skills, hopefully superior set of Jedi-like sales skills. That's the guy or gal you want. And who says gal? The guy or girl or dude or dudette. I feel more comfortable talking that way. That you want to help sell your ideas internally because they know how to sell. That's the person you want. So I would seriously think about that. And that would be definitely something that I would talk about in your sales meeting. But what's really interesting about this type of approach, and I want you to think beyond that suggestion about the companies that are hurting. Maybe here's a follow-up question for your sales meetings. What are some of the least noisy arenas right now that we could show up in? Because everybody gets on these trends and these kicks, and they show up in certain places and industries and verticals and everything, but people miss things all the time too. So do you have opportunities like that within your business? So with that, we've got five areas here. Quick recap. The first thing I want you to do is really assess your skills and look at your skills and your activities. I told you that once you do the assignment, that if you go back to the show notes, yoursalesplaybook.com/70, and you print out the PDF, once you do that and assess your skills, if you send me an email, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com, I've got a free, no strings attached coaching session for you. I'm going to say you're welcome right now because you know what? I'm really happy to do that for you. Happy to help you out. It'll give us a chance to get to know each other too, which is always a cool thing. We talked about that. Also, look closely at your existing business. What are your acres of diamonds? Are there maybe some orphans or inactive accounts? Are there situations where you've become pigeonholed? In other words, people only see you as a supplier for A, but you have B, C, all the way to Z that you can be offering them. And then what you can do from there, go back to the show notes again. I'll have a thing just on that whole topic of how to avoid becoming pigeonholed. But also, I told you, perhaps give ideas to people. Maybe embrace a content strategy to educate your audience. I told you about the 98/2 rule. 98% of your message should be educational and helpful, not salesy. 2%, take that liberty and have a sales message in there. Next, we talked about look at your backyard. Again, acres of diamonds. Don't make the mistake of thinking that this is only for businesses that can go to every business on the block. You might have that one account that's right there in your neighborhood that you just overlook because they blend in. You pass them every day, right? So think about that. Next, look at the growth companies and industries. We talked about using the job boards, venture capital firms, websites. You could also look at emerging businesses on Fast Company, Wall Street Journal, Businessweek.com. Very important. Last but not least, those industries that are hurting. So with that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I want to invite you to do a few things. I really want to build up our community on Facebook, on the fan page. Boy, we've really been having just a lot of activity there. I'm really happy with it. I'm like kind of like a proud father watching that grow. Just a lot of engagement, which is very, very important to me when it comes to building community. I'd love for you to stop by Facebook. I'll have a link. Please like our page so you can continue to interact with us, introduce yourself, stop by, hang out with us. Really good group of people. You guys know I don't allow any nonsense or any spamming or anything like that. So please come by. The other thing, too, if you're on LinkedIn, boy, I'd love to have you come join us, our Sales Playbook group on LinkedIn. Over 33,000, going on 34,000 members. Pure content, no spam, no sifting through all kinds of infomercials and stuff. I don't allow it. And it's just a really cool group of people. We've been doing it now. Geez, it's been about almost 4 years that I've had that group. And again, you want to talk about the proud dad. That's me when it comes to that group. And I'd love to have you there and help you any way that I can. And, you know, finally, if you've been getting value from these podcasts, boy, I would be a lousy salesperson if I didn't ask for your help and ask for your order in a way, right? I'd love for you to circle back to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, leave some words there and leave a testimonial to the podcast. Man, I'll tell you would absolutely make my day. And I promise you, when I get them, I do my best to acknowledge each and every one of them. I never get sick of those, and I'm always so appreciative of it. So with that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.